Church Life Today is a production of Spoke Street Media and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame, and is brought to you in part by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union and our listeners.
A woman who knows she's loved can do anything. This fundamental belief animates the ministry of the Sisters of Life, who dedicate themselves to building up a culture of life and who work with the Lord to drive out the contempt for life in our world. It all begins with restoring the belief in one's own belovedness before God. In collaboration with our McGrath Institute for Church Life and Camp Campo Film Production Company, the Sisters of Life have created a new 12-part original series on accompanying women into life. The series is called Into Life, Love Changes Everything. This series will be released for free on March 25th, 2022, along with accompanying study and discussion guides that are especially well-suited for parishes, schools, and ministry groups. The hope is to reframe the conversations around abortion and the beauty of life through helping people learn how to listen and understand the heart of another, how to rejoice in the beauty of the individual person in an encounter of hope, and how to truly accompany someone into God's life and freedom. My guests today are two of the co-creators of this series. Sister Marie Veritas is a Sister of Life, and Michael Campo is the founder of Camp Campo and the series director. As for me, I'm Leonard DiLorenzo. This is Church Life Today, a production of the McGrath Institute for Church Life and the Spoke Street Media Network. I'm glad you're here. Sister Marie Veritas, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Lenny. It is so good to be with you.
And Michael Campo, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Leonard. I'm very, very happy to be here.
Sister Marie Veritas, I'd love to start by asking you if you would tell us, for the sake of our listeners, a little bit about your religious community, about the charism, the character of your order, so we can come to know it better.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So we're the Sisters of Life, and we're basically consecrated for the protection of human life, because every human life is so beautiful, so sacred, so good. And it's so easy to forget that, actually, right? In our world, we can easily forget that our life matters, that we're good, that our love is beautiful, that we're worthy, that God loves us. And so we, as religious Catholic women, take vows. We take a fourth vow to protect human life, and we lay down our lives so that others might live. And it's for this reason, like, this is why we exist, you know, that people know their own goodness, know their own worth. And so that's why we have our crisis pregnancy mission, you know, helping women who are pregnant and struggling and vulnerable to abortion to have the love and the support they need to choose life. That's why we have retreats, why we do evangelization on human life and love throughout the country and the world. That's why we have a beautiful ministry of hope and healing for women who have suffered after abortion, to know the mercy and healing of Jesus. Because we want every person to know you're good, you're sacred, your life matters. God loves you. And so, yeah, that's why we exist.
I was going to ask you, how did you personally feel yourself drawn to that particular life?
That's awesome. Well, when I was younger, like sixth grade, I felt myself kind of feeling called to religious life. And I was like, no way, that's weird. No. And so pushed away for a long time, but eventually kind of really fell in love with the Lord and with the church and the Eucharist. And the call was on my heart, like stronger and stronger. And it was actually my friend who had gone to World Youth Day Australia, met the sisters there and told me, oh my gosh, I met these sisters. I could totally see was one of them. And I was like, who does she think she is? You know, right. I can't believe, you know, but looking them up and just really just reading the charism, seeing their photos, and it deeply resonated with my own heart. I was very much involved in the pro-life movement on campus, and just my heart was breaking for seeing how many people were living in ways that were self-destructive or ways that they didn't realize how beautiful they were and how good they were. Going on the sister's website, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is my heart. So just really feeling drawn by the Lord to this community in particular.
Wonderful. Michael, yeah. I suppose I have a similar question for you. So you have dedicated your professional life not just to making films of the highest quality, but to making certain kinds of films. So tell us about why you do what you do and how you discovered this particular calling.
Jeez. I think that inside there's this desire to explore, you know, like exploration it's really just kind of like getting to a place to explore, I think, you know, our environment around us, and doing that through film and through art is a really, really creative way to kind of share messages, you know, whether they're good or bad. I have to say, it took me a long, long time to get to a place where I feel comfortable and confident to kind of speak my own message in a way, you know? And, you know, film is just a great way, especially right now, content and, you know, social media and the way the world kind of moves. It's a great way for people who have something to say it. You know, if you can find a creative way to speak about certain things or certain subjects, sometimes I think that you can reach, you can cast that net really wide and you can reach a variety of different types of people, you know?
Yeah. I think I first was introduced to you and your work, Michael, with some of your earlier films like Outcast and The Human Experience, which you did with the Grassroots Films before you started Camp Campo. And for people who are familiar with those films or not familiar with them, you take the viewer to some hard places, some places that would otherwise be unseen, where there might be a lot of darkness and suffering, but you're looking, it seemed to me, looking for the light to find the sources of hope and to follow those who go willingly there to bring hope. I wonder, you know, as we'll start talking about this series that you developed here with the Sisters of Life, if something of that initial sort of charism, if we want to call it that, to go into the places that aren't often seen and to give voice to things that aren't often heard is sort of moving through your work even now in this series too.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, I think the true understanding of humanity is trying to grasp this idea of suffering. You know, when I was traveling with The Human Experience, you know, we traveled all over the place with that film and we used to do Q&As afterwards. And I always, there was somebody in the audience that asked the question about suffering and the meaning of suffering. I think that having an understanding of the meaning of suffering is something that's very relatable across all religions, across all cultures and nationalities. Comedies here in America kind of do one thing, but then they don't really translate when you kind of go across, right, you know, into other cultures, right? But tragedy and suffering is something that all people, all humanity can relate to. It doesn't matter what your nationality, religion, beliefs are. You know, if somebody said, you know, my mom passed away or my father passed away or somebody close to me, everybody can really understand that. We can gauge with that, you know, and working with the sisters on this particular project, I mean, we're talking about some pretty serious stuff. I think that it's through suffering that we are able to really gain an understanding of our own lives. And that's where I think wisdom is really found.
Mm. Well, let's turn our attention to this new series that you've put together. Again, it's called Into Life, Love Changes Everything. You know, I had the opportunity to watch through this entire series in advance, which I was just blown away by it, the quality of it, but also the depth and the humanity of it, the warmth of it, in fact. I think, you know, for those of us who are so interested in building up a culture of life, so much of the attention naturally and rightly focuses on the life of the unborn child. One of the things that really spoke to me in this series was the care, especially that the sisters, you seek to put into the life of the woman, which maybe in a way seems obvious, but I don't think it is obvious. I think it was sort of striking, the concerted focus and care on the life of the woman. Sister Marie Veritas, would you mind speaking to that a little bit and where that focus comes from and why that focus is the starting point?
Definitely. Yeah, thank you. And so also just jumping off Michael too, just his deep understanding of the human person really kind of allowed us, and his gift for actually bringing beauty to film, it really allowed this to be a platform to express kind of the message of our hearts and our desire for people to understand the experience of a woman who is in crisis pregnancy. And yeah, I think it's such an important lens in which to look at kind of pro-life, because, you know, pro-life isn't about labels. Pro-life is about people. And just being able to enter into the shoes of a woman who's pregnant and struggling with her pregnancy, and to kind of see her world through her eyes, we have found to be so essential to our ministry of service to women who are pregnant. Also, too, just as part of that, like to never approach the other as a project, you know, or a task to be accomplished or an argument to be won, but to see her as beautiful, as good, as someone to delight in, to be actually moved by her goodness and to reflect that goodness back to her so that she actually can experience herself as gift, which enables her to experience her child as gift, right? Because a woman who knows she's loved can do anything. And so this is a sort of perhaps a new way, or just perhaps a new way of looking at pro-life, this way of deep listening, of love, of prayer, because there's so much about the conversation about abortion that's kind of dominated by misconceptions or political angst or things like that. But this is actually, in a way, which I'm so grateful for Michael's real gift in this, but hopefully changing the categories of what it means to think about pro-life, but also to just approach a woman and to be moved by her goodness, which is really, really powerful. Mm-hmm.
This is Leonard DiLorenzo. You're listening to Church Life Today on the Spoke Street Media Network. My guests today are Sister Marie Veritas of the Sisters of Life and Michael Campo, founder, content creator, director at Camp Campo. We're talking about the 12-part original series on accompanying women into life that Michael created with the Sisters of Life. The series is called Into Life, Love Changes Everything. Michael, when you hear Sister Marie Veritas talk about changing the categories around the issue of abortion, but really about building up a culture of life, does that affect, does it influence, or how does it influence the way in which you create a film like this? What are some of your priorities, what you're looking for, what you're hoping to present, what you want us to encounter?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no other way to say this. I mean, the Sisters of Life, they're just an incredible order and an incredible organization. I mean, I'm inspired by them. Sister, just if you didn't know, I'm inspired by you.
Thanks, Michael. It's mutual.
I mean, seriously, like the work that they do, you know, something that Sister just said, you know, a woman who knows she's loved can do anything. I mean, that, you know, just speaks volumes. I think the hardest part here is, I know that Sister is very, very creative and truly, truly blessed with many gifts. And it was really, for me, I think the most challenging part was undertaking something and trying to meet those expectations, you know, because I know kind of, I have an idea of who I'm working with based on our conversations. I mean, we shared some really interesting conversations in the very early stages of this, right, Sister?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So getting to a place, you know, of kind of taking on this responsibility of like, okay, now it's go time. We're going to go in and we're going to start filming with the sisters and we're going to start actually creating this. The sisters were influential in every aspect of this filmmaking process. You know, I'm happy to take on some credit and stuff for those who are listening, but the reality of it is that this is a gift from God. This is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And it really was something that was put in place from the sisters' hearts. I'm grateful that we had an opportunity to get in here and try and make something a little bit different, because like Sister said, you know, there's so many boundaries. The moment we mention that word abortion, or the moment we mention the word pro-life, there's so many boundaries that are put up. People immediately flock into their little boxes, mm-hmm. you know, and there's no discussion, you know, and this series is about discussion. This series is about an invitation. This series is about reminding people of their worth. And for me, you know, as an artist kind of going through this project, going through this process, you know, it was a reminder for me as well. Not only is it a woman who knows that she's loved, but it's everybody who knows that she's loved. You know, and the biggest example we have of that, right, is when we look at the crucifix and we see Christ on the cross, mm-hmm. you know. So for me, this was a very, very big project on many, many levels. So yeah, the filmmaking aspect was one piece of it, but the emotional and spiritual aspect of this was also a very large piece of this. Mm-hmm.
On that topic of conversations being shut down the moment you mention abortion, issues of life, my colleagues here in the McGrath Institute, especially the ones you worked with in the Notre Dame Office of Life and Human Dignity, commissioned a study on people's attitudes towards abortion and the way in which they do or do not speak about matters of life and the issue of abortion. And what that study found, by and large, is that, like you're saying, Michael, people not only don't talk about it, they don't have a way of talking about it. There's no room for having discussion, for talking to each other, not just about political issues, but about life issues, about what it, you know, experience and grieving and uncertainty and things like that. So I suppose for both of you, you know, I'd love to hear a little bit more about how you hope that this series, the accompanying study guides and discussion starters, might be able to create new space to introduce new possibilities for conversation. How do you hope that that will take place, and where do you think might be some of the best places for those kind of discussions to happen?
Well, I think I feel gifted to have learned so much from Jess and Christina from the McGrath Institute, who we've been working so closely with and who have just a phenomenal vision also of this project. And it really has felt like family working on this with them, and just a huge blessing. But kind of joining with their vision of spreading this and helping people, yes, to speak about it, but also to engage it in their hearts is just so important. That's one of our main goals of this, actually, to start conversation, but also to draw people into an experience of knowing their own dignity, knowing their own worth, that they are chosen and beloved by God, that Jesus desires them, that he desires their freedom, their healing, their peace, their joy. So it's not just for helping a woman who's pregnant, it's actually for understanding yourself as good and as gift. And so that's another kind of goal of this as well. And also too, for those who have experienced abortion in their lives, the hope is that they can engage in this, but also please God, experiencing some healing graces in going through it as one of our hopes. And I think, yeah, with the study guides, we're hoping to make it accessible to, you know, like dioceses, to parishes, to youth groups, to university groups, you know, to people who kind of want to journey together in this series and learn together and discuss together and actually start creating, you know, conversations around the kitchen table that actually generate a culture of life. And so the scope is big, I think. You know, we're trying to get it to as many people as God wills as possible, but also basically trying to create a community around the content, which is really beautiful. And Michael's talked about it as well and had a great vision for that as well.
Well, tell us a little bit about that vision, Michael. So creating, as Sister Marie Veritas said, creating community around the content.
Yeah, I think that, you know, without inviting people to the table to have a discussion, I mean, when people just kind of go their separate ways, they're immediately turned off. You can't really make any change, you know. At the end of the day, you know, it's really about speaking to people's hearts. It's about recognizing the truth of where people are today. And it's about finding a decent way to invite them to something more. You know, it's an invitation to invite people to healing. Look, I think that this project that we've done together, I mean, I have a tremendous amount of hope for this, that this will really reach people's hearts. I think that if people take the time to sit down and to go through this experience accompanied by, you know, some of the study guides, or even if they just watch it, it has to speak to them. You know, I mean, the Holy Spirit is throughout this thing from beginning to end. And it's a great privilege, right, as an artist, as a filmmaker, to be able to be a part of that. You know, we're one spoke on a very, very large wheel of change, you know, but we hope that people who are taking the time to sit down to watch this, that it does invoke the question, you know, that it plants the seeds. Look, as an artist, I never want to make anything that beats somebody over the head and says, this is the way it is, because that's just not very inviting. And it doesn't really make the change that we hope that it would, right?
Right.
But I don't think that any of this, you know, content that we've spent, you know, the time to work on, to create, I think the people who take the time to watch this will find that it's very inviting, it's very healing. And I think that it really does have potential to speak to people's hearts. Hmm.
This is Leonard DiLorenzo. You're listening to Church Life Today on the Spoke Street Media Network. My guests today are Sister Marie Veritas of the Sisters of Life and Michael Campo, founder, content creator, director at Camp Campo. We're talking about the 12-part original series on accompanying women into life. The series is called Into Life, Love Changes Everything. I think a little earlier, Michael, you spoke about the spiritual aspects of not only what's in the films, but also the creation of it. It was a spiritual project through and through, certainly growing from the spirituality fostered by the sisters themselves. One of the lines that I found in the series that really resonated and stuck with me was this one, that it says, spiritual ills require a spiritual response. Spiritual ills require a spiritual response. And I think so often for the response to the ill of abortion, we think about political and legal responses. We think about maybe even more physical responses, even community responses, but we might not think about the spiritual response, which means we're probably blind to the spiritual ills that are there. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit to this spiritual dimension of everything that's going on here. What are some of these spiritual ills that often go unseen. And therefore, what is the spiritual response to those?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think our founder, Cardinal O'Connor, who was the late Archbishop of New York, was really involved in the pro-life movement. And he was very active in it. And but he was noticing, especially at the beginning, right after Roe v. Wade, that people were like just burning out, like all these pro-life activists were just burning out, you know, pouring themselves into this, but like the results weren't that great. And again, a lot of burnout. And he really took it to prayer. And he asked, like, Lord, why? Like, what are you doing here? What does this mean? You know, what is your invitation in this? And he was praying with Mark 9, the part in scripture where the disciples can't cast out one spirit. So Jesus has given the disciples, you know, authority to cast out spirits, but they can't drive out this one spirit from this little boy. And so they asked Jesus, you know, can you drive this spirit out? And he does. And they said, Lord, why couldn't we drive this spirit out? And he said, this spirit can only be driven out by prayer and fasting. Hmm. And so Cardinal O'Connor really saw the kind of a spirit of contempt for human life as a demon that can only be driven out by prayer and fasting. And so that's actually why he started our community, to pray and fast on behalf of life against this demon of contempt for human life. And I think that's you're talking about the spiritual reality. Abortion is first and foremost a spiritual reality, right? It's the devil is involved in every abortion and tempting someone to an abortion. And there's a lot of spiritual pressure, a lot of darkness, a lot of fear. I mean, women share with us just the incredible darkness that they experienced as they were pregnant and afraid, and the incredible temptations they had toward abortion. And so the importance actually of, yes, addressing this as a spiritual reality, and how? Through prayer, right? First and foremost, prayer and the sacraments. And then as John says, the first letter of John, perfect love casts out fear, right? And so what are we called to? Like every human person, what are we called to? Our community, Michael, everyone is to love, to love, to love, to love. And that's ultimately what drives out fear. But it's really important to notice this because it's so easily kind of reduced to a political thing or a women's issue or something like that. And it's not. It's about the beauty of the human person. It's about souls. It's about salvation. And it's about human flourishing and actually God's authority. He's the master of life and love. Mm. He is our life, you know? And so rooting ourselves in him and his life, letting his life flow through us, actually, please God, allows us to be instruments of his life to others. So yeah, but it's so important to note that the importance of the spiritual reality. So, you know, Michael has, I'm sure, more to say too.
Man, I learned so much every time you start talking. It's like I just feel it, you know, it's really beautiful. The spiritual ills that you're talking about require a spiritual response. And it just makes me think of Jesus when he says, you know, what did he come for? What did he come here for? You know, like a doctor to help people who are spiritually sick. You know, I'm not in an order, right? I don't live in that world. My world is a little bit different, you know, and it's like I understand that walk that some of these individuals are talking about, this spiritual walk, because I myself am on that spiritual journey. I know we all are on that spiritual journey. I'm not saying that I'm any different than anybody. I'm just saying, like, especially in the last couple of months, I feel that God has definitely been pushing me, and I've had to face a lot of my own conflicts, my own demons, you know? So it's interesting because while that's going on, there's a way where God uses that to kind of convey through the art that I get to be a part of at times. It's hard to really explain it, but it's the truth. It's in that struggle that keeps me sharp to make sure, like, hey, you know what? This is not working. That's not working. We need to try this, or let's cut this a little bit earlier. Let this hang just a little bit longer, because it's speaking to my heart too. You know, and as a filmmaker and as an artist, I've had to learn to really trust that gut when things need to be said and when silence is more powerful than the words. And, you know, that's just, I don't know if that's too artsy-fartsy. Mm. I don't want to get all nerdy on everybody. But, you know, I mean, it's part of the journey, you know? Mm.
It's so true.
Yeah. You know, the spiritual ills seem to manifest themselves in a number of different ways. One, it's perhaps in the eyes of those looking upon the woman who is in the unplanned pregnancy and maybe in the distance that others create from them. So therefore, surrounding the woman, there's the isolation, there's the sense of judgment, there mm-hmm. is the disempowerment, the lack of support. Those are some of the manifestations, I take it, of some of these spiritual ills. Mm-hmm. And it struck me so much that, hearing the witness of you and your sisters, Sister Marie Veritas, that the movement towards drawing near to the women, to accompanying, to having a disposition towards listening and understanding, to providing the support that may be lacking elsewhere and to draw the support from others, that that culture of life around and beginning with the woman actually becomes, at least as I was seeing it, a sort of beacon for how we might accompany each other more of the time. That if we had this culture of life more regularly in these situations of stress on particular women facing unplanned pregnancies, we would know more about how to actually be part of that life-giving with them. Can you speak a little bit to this approach to ministry and how, you know, even if and hopefully the legalization of abortion were rescinded nationally in the coming weeks or months, this sort of ministry of supporting life would still be a priority for your order and for us in the church to try to build up this culture more fully?
Absolutely. It's a great question. I mean, a culture of life is a culture of solidarity, right? Pro-life starts first here in my own heart, in my own life, you know, and it starts even with acknowledging and realizing like, yeah, I'm in my own, like as Michael was talking about, we have our own spiritual battles, right? And we all feel at certain times in our life, like this experience of, I'm not good. I'm not worthy enough. You know, he's better than me. She's better than me. I'm unlovable. I'm nothing, right? All these temptations that can, this darkness that can kind of plague our thoughts. I think every human person goes through that. And so first it's like acknowledging that in myself and what do I deserve? Wow, I desire love. I desire to love and be loved, to be seen, to be known, and to be heard, to be understood. I desire to know myself as good, as chosen, as beloved, as desired, you know? And that's the experience of every human person, right? And so the first tapping into that, that reality of who I am before God, her life starts there. And then it's in that. It's like, okay, this is the human experience. It's Michael's beautiful film, so aptly painted, you know? But then actually, I need to be walked with. I need accompaniment. I need solidarity. And so does every other single person I meet, right? We need each other. We're made for communion, right? We're made in the image of God, who is a Trinity, who is communion. We're not meant to be alone. And so that kind of aspect of desiring to know that I'm good and experiencing that, especially through prayer from the Lord, because he tells us who we are. And then being able to go out and to encounter the other. And as I was mentioned briefly before, but first to really listen to the other person. And there's three of the 12 videos are about listening, how to listen, right? Because it's, we think we know how to listen, but then it's like, wow, I've never listened in my life, you know? So to actually learn what listening looks like and what it is. And you can actually listen a person into life. So really deeply listening the other person without this filter of judgment or preconceived idea, receiving them and then reflecting back to them, not only what you're hearing, but also their own goodness, their desires, their dreams, their beauty. That in itself is already creating a culture of life, a culture of solidarity, culture of healing. And it's so important, I think, in journeying. And I think just one other thing I would say in that is kind of, yes, like, please God, facing, you know, walking into a world without Roe. Yes. How do we walk with women? I mean, yes, it's this deep listening. It's this accompaniment. I don't think we necessarily need more programs. We need relationship so that every woman experiences like she's not a project. She's not a task. That we love her, we see her for her, that she is good, and we believe in her. She needs to be believed in so that she can believe in herself. And so actually just creating it, I don't want to sound cheesy, but like creating a family, like let's, you know, the church is a family, let's be a family. And actually there's such a power in it. And so, yeah, to me, that's really, I feel what the Lord, what Jesus is inviting us to in that.
Well, we're coming towards the end. Michael, you had the opportunity, I suppose, in creating these films to listen to all of these testimonies for the first time. And those of us who are now have the opportunity to watch and take in these films, we get to hear the testimony and take in this witness to life. But after listening to all of this for hours, and then, of course, in editing and whatnot, what's something that has really stuck with you that made, I'm sure there's quite a lot, but made an impression on you about what you heard or the witness that you were encountering in the sisters and their approach to building up life?
I was hoping you weren't going to put me on the spot.
Well, that's part of my job here, Michael.
I'm not going to, like, you know, be pulling out quotes here or anything. That's all right. You know, when you look at something a million times over and over again, it all kind of like starts to come together. But there is something, and it's really just kind of echoing some of the stuff that Sister was just talking about. You know, I think we live in the most connected time of human existence, and we are completely disconnected, constantly divided by everything now. Everything. Things that we thought maybe weren't, you know, dividing us anymore, now they're dividing us again. I mean, it's just nonstop division, you know, and that's a tactic. You know, there's a reason for that. I believe that, you know, I think that's part of the spiritual world and the spiritual battle that we're fighting. But, you know, this idea that we are created in love, this idea that we are loved, and this idea that we matter is something that I think a lot of people have forgotten. I mean, I can say in my own garbage that goes on in my life, you know, I feel like I've forgotten that at times. But the truth is that we are loved. You know, we were created out of love. And if our desire is to live within the plan that God has created for us and we work with God, like, we can become anything. We can get there. I mean, there's so much wisdom throughout these 12 videos. There's just so much to reflect on. I mean, I think it's very universal. You know, I think that anybody who's willing to take the time, like Sister says, and actually listen, who's willing to take the time to really listen, I think that there's something there that may be life-changing for you. You know, there's something there where somebody can take it in, those seeds can be planted, and then over time, if they nurture those seeds, you know, they can grow. And then hopefully we get to be the people that God created us to be, not the person that the world tells us we are.
The series we've been talking about is titled Into Life, Love Changes Everything. It's set for release on the Solemnity of the Annunciation, March 25th, 2022. You can sign up for information about this free series and the accompanying study guides by visiting the Notre Dame Office for Life and Human Dignity online, or by visiting the website for the Sisters of Life. You can also find out more about Michael Campo's work at campcampo.com. Sister Marie Veritas, Michael Campo, thank you so much, not only for this incredible work that you've created and this witness that you provided, but for joining me here today on Church Life Today.
Thanks so much, Lenny. It's been a joy.
Thanks, Lenny. Really appreciate it, man. Thank you.
My pleasure. And thanks to all of you for joining us on Church Life Today.
Church Life Today is a production of Spoke Street Media and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame, and is brought to you in part by Notre Dame FCU and our listeners.
This show is a production of the Spoke Street Media Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, visit spokestreet.com.